Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings this weekend, which remind us that you provide for all of our needs exceedingly and abundantly according to your riches and glory, that you always have something for us when we're weary and the journey seems long. You have a word for us to encourage us and help us continue to walk in the ways of faith, hope, and love. And so we pray in our own lives, as we face our own personal challenges, as we face challenges as a church and a world, that you would help us to have that expectant faith that you will provide for us and give us the guidance we need each and every day to follow in the footsteps that you have traced for us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So the scripture readings today are beautiful. They're always beautiful. God sets before us a feast of scripture, you know, to help edify our souls and guide us in our spiritual journeys. And especially that first reading from 1 Kings 19, where Elijah had fled because Jezebel had threatened him, and he just allowed a spirit of fear to overtake him. And I remember reading one day one spiritual commentary on this story, and it said he forgot who he was. He fled from his own identity. Everything that God had shown him and done, he just allowed the spirit of fear to overtake him and just ran away from all of that. So he journeyed 40 days and 40 nights, and in the middle of his journey, he lays down by the broom tree and says, "You know what, Lord? I can't go on any further. Please take my life." It's like, "What, you wimp?" But then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "You know, you're physically tired. Eat something. Get up. God has something for you." And he journeys again and goes to the foot of the cave, and God had something for him. And isn't that a reminder that God has something for all of us? If we take the time to journey and to seek him with our mind, heart, and soul, that he will have some word of encouragement or something for us to help guide us and direct us on our way of faith. And this particular passage is very important to me because about 4 weeks ago when I was in Boston, or 3 weeks ago, this was the teaching that pastor gave before he called me forward in front of everyone to pray over me. It was Elijah at the foot of the cave. And sometimes we look for God to manifest his presence to us in a dramatic way, but it wasn't in, you know, the crushing of the rocks, the earthquake, the fire. It was in a gentle whisper that Elijah was able to hear him. And that reminds me of Psalm 46, you know, "Be still and know that I am God." And we're so surrounded in our world today by noise and distractions that we really need to just kind of break away and say, "Lord, do you have a word for me? Do you have a word of encouragement for me to help me in my discernment to follow you and to seek you with all my heart?" So God wants to strengthen us all and give us everything we need to continue our spiritual journey. And we have to believe that. And sometimes when we see difficult things happening around us, we doubt that. And so I'm just praying now for the Holy Spirit to come down upon each and every one of us. I don't know what your own personal challenges are right now, but to strengthen you in your inner self to know that God is going to give you and me everything we need to move forward in our spiritual journey. He is a good God. Amen. Amen. Our Blessed Mother tells us that "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord," and we need to just trust in him. But he doesn't work in the ways we ask him to sometimes. He's not a tame lion, but he's a good lion, as it said in the Chronicles of Narnia. And the Lord is always pleased with people who step out and try to grow in their faith. And this is Peter in the boat today, right? You know, faith is like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, you don't get stronger. And so Peter, even though he made a lot of mistakes, and you know, three times the Lord had to remind him of this or that, at least he wanted to grow in his faith. "Lord, if that is you, tell me to step out of the boat and come to you." And the Lord's like, "Come." "Oh, dang, I didn't really mean that." Right? Okay, so he stepped out and he started to walk, and then he looked at all the circumstances around him, the waves and the wind. He took his eyes off Jesus, right? Hebrews 12 says, "Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith." And sometimes when I raise the host up during the consecration, I think of that passage. "Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith," as I'm holding the host in front of me. But we get so easily distracted sometimes, so God is pleased with people who want to step out and take a risk. And sometimes as Catholics, we get very comfortable. You know, we get things the way we want them to be. And God is trying to break in and say, "I have something for you new. I want to invite you to trust in me more and go deeper in your relationship with me." And we just keep going through the same routine over and over again. How boring. If somebody was to write a book about us, would anyone be interested in reading it? Did we show that passion that Peter had in stepping out of the boat? And even though he sank, the Lord immediately grabbed his hand. And a friend of mine always reminds me of that. He didn't even hesitate. He immediately grabbed his hand. He's always ready to help us. we do the Liturgy of the Hours, the phrase that we start with is, God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. I think it's Psalm 70. Is that God wants to help us. God is on our side. Do we really believe that, or we become kind of self-sufficient and just kind of get into our own rut and routine and become very boring? And the Lord's like, you know, you can't grow in your faith unless you step out and allow me to help you understand that you need to be taking more risk and doing new things to help people come into a relationship with me. I often say, as Catholics, especially when we have people in our families who are away from the faith, how we do very little to help them come back. Oh, well, they have a nice job, they have a nice house, and, you know, they're living a good life. Who cares if they don't go to Mass? Who cares if they're not practicing their Catholic faith? Really? Is that what you set out to do the day you baptize your children? Are you praying to God to be the hound of heaven, to pursue your children and bring them back to the church? Or have you just given up? Oh, well, nothing's going to happen. God can't do anything miraculous in this situation. I think to a great degree, that's our church today. We have very little expectant faith, and we're very not willing to try new things, to reach out and step out of our comfort zone to pray with people and invite them back to the Lord and the church. And I really believe that the people who grow the most in their faith are the ones who are willing to take risks. They don't play it safe. Like, I want more. I want more, Lord. I know you're inviting me to do more. Is there something new I can do to relate to this person or pray a word of encouragement over them? They're having a hard time right now. And invite them to consider coming back to church or coming back to the faith. But on a daily basis, we see very little of that going on right now. Oh, everything's fine. Who cares? You know, big deal. You're not receiving the bread of life. Big deal. And so I think the Lord is wanting to stir into our hearts a new vision, a new fanning of flame of the Holy Spirit to help us be more bold and eager and ready at all times to give an account for the hope inside of us. But if you don't have that hope inside of you, you can't give it away to someone else. Amen? So we start with ourselves. We always point the finger and say, Lord, help me to be a better example. Help me to be more bold and zealous. I know I did something on a plane once and I was all excited and I completely blew the opportunity to help somebody come back to the Lord. A few things I forgot. But I remember at the end of the situation, as I prayed over it, the Lord just saying, I'm glad you at least wanted to try. You're like a little puppy dog, and I just need to work with you a little more and refine your techniques and everything. But I'm glad that you at least wanted to share your faith with this person on the plane. And I thought, okay, work with me, Lord. You know, I am a puppy dog. Just jump on people, knock them over, and I'm not very refined in my techniques. Well, that was 30 years ago, so now I think he's refined me a little bit, maybe not enough. I'm a mature puppy dog. Praise the Lord. Here's the last thing I'd like to impress upon you today is God teaches us through our disappointing experiences of life. All things are working for our good for those who love God. So even when we do something wrong, like me on the airplane 30 years ago, he can still work with us and teach us through those experiences. Isaiah 45:3, I will give you treasures in darkness. So even when we can't quite discern what God is doing, he's still working with us. And if we pray into those situations and not just be quick to turn away, oh, that didn't work, that was ineffective. Wait a minute, maybe there's some other deeper lesson here that the Lord is trying to teach us, right? And so you pray into that and you realize that, you know what, he's working in all circumstances in my life. Even when I do something wrong, he's teaching me, he's humbling me and telling me to try something different. So we never turn away and say, well, that was a failure. I have a friend who did some prayer experience with someone, and they were convinced that it was an absolute disaster. I told them, I said, you just wait. When you stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, you're going to find out you were completely wrong about that. That he used your desire to reach out and touch this person in a way that you couldn't possibly see. And I think when we die, there are going to be all kinds of surprises in heaven. Oh, I thought I was a failure. Yeah, well, guess what? You got that wrong. I work in spite of you. Isn't that a comforting thought most days? For me, at least it is. I work in spite of you. And that he's still working his grace in our brokenness and all the situations that are going on in our world today. So we just need to pray to hear that still small voice. I'm calling you. Be confident in me. I grasp you by the hand. Don't doubt my goodness and love. And if you turn to me, I will always quickly grab your hand and drag you out of the drowning waters and set you on high ground in a solid rock. Because I'm a good God. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy and love and for all the wonderful things you do for us. If anyone in this church today is discouraged, we just pray in the name of Jesus for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to comfort them, to strengthen them in their inner selves, to know that you're with them, and that all things work for our good for those who love you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.